we are on Vavamid Beis. We are revisiting this discussion about Beitza, Mitzias, and Nigmar, and what happens with Tosfos. We had said, Rav Huna says, quoting Rav, that when the egg emerges, it is complete. And we wanted to know what he meant when he said, when the egg emerges, it becomes complete. What's the transition that's going on? And our first answer was to say that it becomes parev when it emerges. When it's inside the mother, it's actually fleishik. It's considered to be part of the mother, and then it emerges, and now it's parev. We threw out that idea. Our second approach was imitziyasa nigmara. When it emerges, it's now complete, and therefore you're allowed to eat it on Yom Tov. But if you shechted the mother and then you found the egg inside, you would not be allowed to eat it on Yom Tov. And we got rid of that idea. We went through various iterations of that idea, and that brought us to our third stage, which was that when the egg is complete, when the egg emerges, I should say, then it's able to produce young. Otherwise, it's not able to produce young. But going back to the first of the three approaches regarding this egg, and the discussion about whether and when the egg is parav. So I want to outline first, and then see it in Tosfos. We have three cases or three sources that we have to work with. Number one, case number one, is the egg considered to be poultry, or is the egg considered to be parav? So the general view, as we see in our Gemara right here, is that it's parav even before it emerges. That's the conclusion of our Gemara. It's that if I shack the chicken and I find an egg inside, the egg is parav. Well, that's what I want to come back to. We're not there yet. But what we're saying is the egg is considered to be parav. However, turn to Zayin Amud Aleph for a minute, please, because we're going to have to quote a little bit of Gemara from Zayin Amud Aleph in the course of going through this. Specifically, the line involving Rabbi Yaakov. If you take a look on Zayin Amud Aleph, five lines down in the medium line. So you go see where the lines get wider, and you go down five lines, the word is gufa. Right? When you see gufa in the Gemara, they're quoting a statement that was made in the Gemara previously. If you see Amarmar, it's quoting a Mishnah or a Brisa, a source from the Tanoim. If you see Gufa, it's quoting a source from the Amoraim. So, Hashochet es tarnegolas umatzah babeitzim gemuros. If you shach the chicken and you find inside fully formed eggs, mutaros la'achon bechalav, you're allowed to eat them with dairy. In other words, they are parav. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, im hayu meuros begidin asuros. Rabbi Yaakov says, if they are in with the gidin, the veins, the blood vessels, then they are prohibited. Now, Rashi says mu'uros means mechubaros, that they're actually joined. I'm not entirely clear on this, because I went back and looked at material we've quoted before on how the egg is formed and how the shell is formed, and it's not clear to me that you actually have a stage where there are vessels that are connected from the chicken to the egg. And mu'uros, the word mu'uros itself, suggests not necessarily that it's connected, but that it's simply in among them, sort of encased in them. In other words, pre-shell would be the idea. So I'm not sure how to take mu'uros, but the point is that Rabbi Yaakov's view is that at a certain early stage, then it's actually going to be considered fleishik. Without necessarily defining what that stage is, mu'uros begidin, whatever that means, is going to be fleishik at that stage. So that's point number one. Point number one is, our Gemara's general view is that the egg, once it's fully formed, is parav. Rabbi Yaakov says, not if it's mu'uros begidin, then it's poultry. That's number one. Number two is our Mishnah in Edyos, which we quoted last time, but I brought it on our sheet now in Source Aleph. And that's regarding a second question of whether the egg is considered to be part of the nevela in the event that the mother, the chicken, died, not shafted, the chicken just died, then, and you found an egg inside, is the egg treif as a nevela? Or do I say the egg is a separate entity? So take a look at Source Aleph, please. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shisha Devar Mikule Beishama Yomechumre Beis Hillel. Rabbi Yehuda says there are six leniencies of Beis Shammai and stringencies of Beis Hillel, and he goes through a series of them. We're mentioning one of them. Beis Has Hanevela, an egg that was found inside of a nevela, im yesh kayotze banim keres bashuk, if eggs like this one would be sold in the marketplace, by which we mean its shell is complete. That's our point. Then muteres, v'yagiz muter. It's not considered to be an avela. V'yamlav asura, but otherwise it's going to be prohibited. Kidivrei Beis Shammai. That's the position of Beis Shammai. And Beis Hillel Osrid, Beis Hillel says osir. So Beis Hillel is strict. Umodin bebeitzas treifa sheyasur b'pnei shegedela be'isur. They agree regarding an egg from a treifa that it's off limits. Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai agree, but I'm going to come back to that. I'm not quite ready for the treifa discussion. The point, though, is that when it comes to poultry or pariv, the Chachamim, other than Rabbi Yaakov, everybody other than Rabbi Yaakov says, the egg is pariv, which to me means it's not part of the mother. That's what I would have assumed. However, when it comes to nevela, Beis Hillel says it is part of the mother. And we're going to follow Beis Hillel. We're not just fair weather friends for Beis Hillel. When we say the law always follows Beis Hillel, we mean even when Beis Hillel is strict, the law follows Beis Hillel.
But Beis Hillel may not be saying that.
Yeah.
Tosfot says Beis Hillel holds the Zayrach as a trace.
We didn't get there yet.
Okay.
I'm setting up the problem before I'm going to set up the solution.
Why do you say that Yaakov is arguing as opposed to qualifying?
Because if it was everybody's view, then the Chachamim themselves would have said it. It wouldn't have just been Rabbi Yaakov.
But we said that if it's Gemuros, so Rabbi Yaakov is saying something other than Gemuros.
So, right, but if that were true...
If the view is on Gemuros, then Rabbi Yaakov's not arguing. Rabbi Yaakov's qualifying. Gemuros, there's no argument. Gemuros
right.
Is part
of it.
If they're Gemuros begin them, then everyone might hold that they're... So I'm not sure Rabbi Yaakov is...
Right. But everybody takes that as a shot. I mean, for an example, take a look at Tosfos and Zayin Ard Aleph, Umatz Mabates and Gemuros. Just as an opening question. Shai is asking, maybe Rabbi Yaakov is simply doing what, so to speak, of Amed Devor Mamurim. Right? Maybe he's saying, when do the Chachamim say that this is actually not considered part of the mother? When do the Chachamim say it's Parav? In the event that it's actually fully formed. But if it's Mu'uros Begidin, then not. The problem is, if you take a look at Tosos Umatza, he says, Tema, he says, I am surprised. Keva de Gemuros, if they're complete, Ketzad Hayu Mu'uros, how could they be Mu'uros Begidin? How could it still be? So he's clearly assuming that it's part of the Gemuros, and this is a Machlokas. Yes, I understand why you would be tempted to read it a different way, but that's the way that everybody seems to take with Yaakov. So, we have, on the one hand, the Chachamim telling us that the egg is pariv, implying not part of the mother. On the other hand, Beis Hillel saying that it is nevela, indicating it is part of the mother. So that's 2 points. Then we have the third and last point before we can start addressing this. And that is source base. We quoted it last time when we got into Tosfos, so we didn't get very far with it. The Gemara asks, Mahu la'aruye b'makom rabo, the Gemara in Erevin, are you allowed to paskin in the place where your Rebbe lives? So Omar Le, he replied, Afilu be'asa b'kutcha, even an egg in yogurt, I mentioned last time, kutcha was the yogurt with crunchies, even the question of whether you're allowed to eat an egg in yogurt, bo mine me Rav Chisda, they would ask Rav Chisda that question, kol shanei de Rav Huna, all the time that Rav Huna was still alive, when Rav Chisda would be asked such a question, velo ori, they would ask him and he wouldn't answer. He wouldn't answer the simplest of questions. Beis HaBekutcha is a standard phrase in yeshiva. If someone wants to talk about like the simplest of questions, Beis HaBekutcha is the simplest of questions. The egg in yogurt. That's what the Gemara there says. Now, the problem is that it's too easy an easy question. In other words, it's not true. It's not true that you can't answer a question like that. Someone comes up to you in shul and says, it's Rosh Chodesh today, do I say Yalav Yavo? Are you not allowed to say yes? You go ask the rabbi. There has to be a certain point at which you say, no, this isn't a question that I'm being asked at all. This is something else. So Tosfos says, yeah, that's not really the question. If you take a look at Tosfos Gimel. Even an egg in yogurt. Mefarish ba'aruch. The aruch explains. The aruch is Rabbi Nasan Bal Ha'aruch. He's a Rishon even before Rashi. He precedes Rashi. He's sort of borderline Gaon Rishon. He's very important. He lives in, I believe, France. And he writes a dictionary of terms from the Gemara. The words, terms, whatever. But he bases them on grammatical roots so that each heading is called an erech. And it's a root rather than the actual full word. And what he does often is he will explain a sugya that in which a word is used. So in other words, he has an erech, shin lamed dalet. Okay, I'm making something up. I don't know if he actually does this. But he has an Erech Shin Lamed Dalid, and he's using it for Shilda, which is potentially spine and part of the skeletal structure of a creature. And in explaining what Shin Lamed Dalid is, he will also give you a discussion of a line in the Gemara where they talk about Shilda. And because he's not just someone writing an Aramaic dictionary, but he's Rabbi Nassim Bala Aruch, you know, one of the first of the Rishonim, when he says something, it matters a great deal. And quite often, you will find him disagree with Rashi on the explanation of a word, the explanation of a discussion. Tosus quotes the Aruch from time to time, like he does here. So on this Beis HaBekutcha, he says, Mefarish Ba'aruch, the Aruch explains, Delav Bistam Beitzim Airi. This isn't just talking about random eggs. The Osan Ein Tzrich and Heter, you don't need to ask somebody, am I allowed to have this with yogurt? He says there's no Amaretz out there who can't answer this question about the yogurt and the milk. Ella, the egg and the milk, I should say. Ella kishashochet es atarnegoles umatzah baveitzim gemuros. Rather, what the Gemara is talking about is a little bit more complex. It's talking about if you shecht a chicken and you find fully formed eggs inside, and someone is asking you, am I allowed to eat it with milk? And the rule is, shemutel ochlam b'chalav, the rule is you are allowed to have it with dairy. So the Gemara in Erevin assumes that it is entirely obvious that an egg is parav. Right? And not just that an egg is parav, but that an egg that was found inside the mother is parav. Right? That's a given here in this Gemara.
You want to make a point that it can't be too easy, obvious, but it can't be too hard. This is the machlokes from Rabbi Yaakov itself, which in Rabbi Yaakov.
Right. So what he's telling you is Rabbi Yaakov is even
still attached. Doesn't say the veins are.
Rabbi Yaakov applies even in Gemuros. That was what we saw from that Tosfos. Rabbi Yaakov is disagreeing, but you're right. But the answer is this is one level below. Do I say Yalav Yavo on Rosh Chodesh? Okay, this is not even, do I have to go back or not?
Well, if it's a machlek, it's not a right, and it sounds like it's even more...
Well, first of all, But the Gemara is saying explicitly that this is a straightforward question. So I have two apparent inconsistencies. Number one, Rabbi Yaakov Adav Zayin says that the egg is poultry, right? If it's Mu'ur Begidin, and we're assuming that's within Gemuros. But the Gemara in Erevin seems to think that it's obvious that it's Parav. So that's one problem. Why does Erevin think it's parav if I have machlokes tanoim in Beza? Right? That's one question. And then the second question, which we mentioned before, Beis Hillel is telling me that it's nevela, but our Gemara says that it's parav. How can you maintain both? Understanding that we're going to answer this. But those are my two questions. So our Tosfos takes on both of these issues. Step one in our Tosfos, this is Tosfos Beitzim, is to resolve Beis Hillel. So we're on the first of the wide lines at the bottom. Beitzim gemuros mutaros la'ochlan b'cholav. So he says, v'kasha, this is difficult. You're telling me that I'm allowed to eat them with dairy, that they are parav. D'ha amrinan be'edyos, beitzas nevela, kol shekamoan imkeres b'shuk. As long as eggs like it are sold in the marketplace, which he explains means they have a shell. Beishamai matirin, ubeis hillel osrin. Beishamai permits them. Beis Hillel says, no, this counts as a nevela. So he asks, v'hacha hechi mutar achlan b'chalav, and how am I able to eat them with dairy? That's the question we've already framed. So Tosfos offers a solution.
Beis Hillel is not saying they're milk circulations. Beis Hillel is saying they're treif.
Right, so that means that if it came from a kosher bird, what would it be? Yeah.
Fine.
But would it be fleishig or parav?
Yeah. Hasn't addressed it.
But he has. The implication, until we can come up with a rationale for why you should say it's part of the chicken for one purpose and not for the other, yeah. I would assume that if it's an avela, then it's fleishig. Right. Yeah. I mean, that would have been my assumption, except that we started to see Tosfos last week, so I know it's not true. So Tosfos gives me one answer here. He says, v'yesh lomar, you could say, the truth of the matter is that Beis Hillel really believes the egg is not part of the mother. The egg is not part of the mother, which is why the egg is parav. Okay? And we're not going to make it like part of the mother. There's no reason for us to, because after all, poultry and milk is fundamentally rabbinic, he says. And that's what most of the world holds. Not everybody, as we'll see. But most of the world believes that, that poultry and milk is a derabanan. Vafilu beis Hillel modu. And even beis Hillel, who said regarding nevela that it is considered to be part of the mother, that's because nevela is a biblical issue. Nevela is de'oraisa. So he's strict when it comes to nevela, but he's lenient when it comes to poultry and milk. That's Tosfos' first answer. Now we get to where I got thrown off last week. Tosfos here does this little sidestep to discuss Rabbi Yaakov and the Gemara in Erevin. Because if Beis Hillel is now on side with the idea that the egg is not really part of the mother, right? The egg is not really part of the mother. We're pretending it is as far as Nevela is concerned because Nevela is a Del Risa issue. But it's not really part of the mother. So that means that both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai believe it's not part of the mother. Well, then what do I do with Rabbi Yaakov? Why is Rabbi Yaakov insisting that this thing is fleshic? You follow? That's the segue for Tosfos that I was missing last week. So he says, V'kasha, this is now difficult. D'amrinan be'erevin, the Gemara in Erevin is going to say, afilu be'esa be'kutcha, lo lishri inish b'makom rabe. Right? You shouldn't permit an egg with yogurt in a place where your Rebbe lives. Ma'ikomash malan, the Gemara says, well, what are you teaching me? Pshita. That's obvious. End of discussion from Erevin. So he says, wait a minute. You have Rabbi Yaakov right near, right next to this in Zion Amad Aleph, who's going to say it's Asar. V'yesh Lomar, so he says you could answer with another approach. Dekule Alma Modu debates him at Gemuros, which in the margin, in the inside margin, he says She'enan Me'uros Mutaros La'achlan B'chalav. Maybe the answer is that everybody, including Rabbi Yaakov, will agree that if they are fully formed, beyond fully formed, einan me'uros, they're not even in with the veins, then you're allowed to eat them with milk. And then the answer that I'll give you is that, that the case that we're talking about, all the cases that we're talking about are post-me'uros. So Rabbi Yaakov will go along with us. Even though we said before, based on Tosfos and Zayin Abed Aleph, Rabbi Yaakov is disagreeing regarding Gemuros, we'll have to now assume that all the other cases that we're dealing with satisfy Rabbi Yaakov, like which I wanted to say before.
So that a contradiction in Tosfos then?
No, not necessarily. He could argue that the Tanakhama that Rabbi Yaakov is disagreeing with on Zayin Abed Aleph is now the odd man out in this conversation. In other words, Rabbi Yaakov was disagreeing with him. It's not that you can't have a disagreement between one Tosfos and another. That happens all the time. The Balei Tosfos aren't all the same person.
Right.
But I don't think you have to say that. I think you could just make the Tanakhama there the odd man out.
Bit of a stretch, isn't it?
Doesn't have to be.
Who's the additional commentary here on the side of the Tosfos?
I don't know. I mean, we usually just say Mesoras Hashas for everything that appears in the margin, but I don't actually, I don't have any certainty on that.
It doesn't look like Mesoras
Hashas. Well, I mean, no, but that's the normal take, right. But I don't know what that means. When you say it's Mesoras Hashas, I can't put a name on that. That's what Tosfos suggests in the middle here. That's the way to resolve Rabbi Yaakov. But then, Tosfos comes back to Beis Hillel and says, I have a second answer for Beis Hillel. My first approach to Beis Hillel was to say the egg is not part of the mother, and I'm going to continue to say that the egg is not part of the mother. I still believe that. But regarding Nevela, I have a different reason for why Beis Hillel will say it's considered a Nevela. And that's where Tosfos goes now. He says, V'taima de Beis Hillel, we're now on the fourth line in Tosfos, the middle of the line. V'taima de Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel's reasoning, Da'asri beitas nevela, for prohibiting the egg of a nevela, Hainu mishum de gazrinan atu beitas trefa. It's a gezera because if you permit someone to have the egg that came from a nevela, they might also eat the egg that came from a trefa. A trefa was a chicken that was wounded. Now here, this is going to require a degree of explanation here, because it's not simple and straightforward in approaching this. So let me take a look. If you take a look at your sheet, take a look at source Dalet, please.
The Gemara in Chulin. Why are the places still compelled to give another answer?
So I think in part because of this problem of Rabbi Yaakov. That could be why. But take a look at source Dalet. Amaram Eimar. This is the Gemara in Chulin that we're referring to on egg.
It's not a second answer. Maybe it's in a way a retraction of the.
Let's walk through it first.
Because of Oyeg Yeshlema, it could have been another teretz. Why interject the piece in the middle? They're two independent teretz, and then you wouldn't need to interject the middle. So I like what you're saying, that maybe the reason Tosis is doing this is because it clears up. Kind of makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. Because him beginning with the word Vitaima indicates that it's an outgrowth of the previous thought and not a new thought. So, yeah. But take a look at source Dalet. Amar Amemar. Hani Bey de Trefa Shichla Kama Asira. Well, let me claim that. Hani Bey de Trefa. Eggs from a Trefa. So, Shichla Kama. Shichla means the first bat, means a batch. So, Shichla Kama, the first batch of eggs, however many there are in a batch, doesn't mean one normally. Asira is going to be prohibited. Mikan ve'elech, havale zev ezegarim umuter. From then on, it's what we call zev ezegarim, and it's going to be permitted. What in the world are you talking about? So here's the situation. Normally, if you have a fertilized egg, that means that there was a chicken involved and there was a rooster involved. The rooster, we are assuming, was not a trefa, just the chicken was. Therefore, the egg is influenced by two different sources. One source, a mutter source, the rooster. The other source, the trefa source, the mother, the chicken, right? And the rule is that if an entity is formed as a product of two forces, and one force was a mutter force, and one force was an usser force, the rule is that that this resulting product is mutter. This will be called zev v'zeh goreim. This one and this one cause to the end result.
Even the derisive.
Apparently. You follow the principle of zev v'zeh goreim? Okay, you have two different causes for the end product. One was a mutter cause, one was a usser cause. The end result is mutter.
I think, for example, it wouldn't matter if the booster was the father and the mother was the cause.
Correct. Would not matter.
But this one applies to an egg that has a chicken.
Correct. We'll get to that. Good point. Hang in there. Wait, one more line.
From the arrow.
Yes, wait, one more line. But the statement that they're making now is, when we say the egg of a trefa is off limits, we have to clarify what that means. When the chicken was, let's say, attacked, let's say it became a trefa because it was attacked by a wolf, okay? The eggs that were inside when it underwent this attack, those eggs are the eggs that are usser. Because, just like their mother became a trefa, when she was attacked, the egg was inside. The egg is considered to be a victim of the attack also, and the egg is a trefa.
Even if it was gemura.
Yeah, so it appears. Even if they're gemuras, doesn't make a difference. The egg was attacked too.
Because of Basila, or it would be trefa by everybody?
By everybody, it appears. So it appears. We don't have a descending view.
Is that because they're... Even if they're gemura, or does the side think that we don't know if they're gemura?
I don't have an answer. I couldn't tell you. We don't get a description here in the Gemara. It's a good question. I don't know. We just get a flat statement. That first batch of eggs, usser. From then on, since the rooster that also contributed to the egg is not a trefa, we assume, therefore, mutter. The next batch of eggs are going to be mutter.
I don't get it.
Because let's say the chicken was attacked on May 1st.
Yeah.
Right? So the eggs that were inside that were forming were attacked also, so to speak, and therefore they are also.
Okay.
However, those eggs went through the system.
You drafted this chicken.
No.
I haven't killed it.
No, they just
killed
it another 10 months. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So June 1st, this chicken produces another egg. That egg is mutter. Because even though mommy was a trefa, daddy was nothing. Daddy was mutter.
Provider was
fertilized.
Correct.
Fertilized.
Yeah. Well, that's again, we're getting to it.
It's like
100% true. 100% true.
And what happens? So how do you ever determine if the rooster wasn't the problem?
So by default, we assume it's not a trefa unless you know that it is.
The chazaka.
Yeah. The assumption is non-trefa until you find out otherwise. Okay.
Most roosters are not trefa.
Yeah. So the Gemara then asks, Eisvei Rav Ashi la Amemar. Rav Ashi says to Amemar, but we learn the following source. Vishavin, everybody agrees, bebeitzas treifa she'asura. Everybody agrees that the egg of a treifa is asur, mnesha gadla be'isur, because it was raised inside the mother, it was incubated inside the mother, be'isur. In this prohibited situation. So the Gemara answers, as you've been trying to say, hasam b'disafta me'ara. That's talking about where it's a non-fertilized egg. There is no father. And therefore, the only source for this egg is the treifa mother, and therefore, yes, it's going to be a treifa. That's the Gemara in Chulin about the egg from a treifa. Yeah.
If you find a calf in a cow, it's a treifa.
So it's going to be answer. Unless it was fertilized, unless it was conceived after the mother became a treifa.
But what did we say previously? Only the first batch.
Correct.
Why?
Because that's the batch that was inside when we're assuming it was actually starting to form. Whatever stage I can't answer directly, but it was starting to form when it was attacked.
At what point does the mother lose the status of?
The mother never loses.
One second,
because the next batch comes from the rooster.
No, because it was formed by the mother along with the mutter father.
Because it wasn't in the act at the time.
So
became
so with the eggs.
Okay, I got that. Because we talked about that. Because it's one's okay.
Yes.
They're all okay.
But what if the egg was fertilized and was in there at the time the chicken became a treifa? It was still a product of two.
Correct. But it's now a victim of the attack.
It was a victim.
Boy by young. You know, right exactly at that time when it happened. It was part of the accident.
Yeah.
But the calf and the cow is always considered part of the mother until it's born.
And there is a discussion about Uber Yerahimo. That's what you're referring to.
Yeah.
So I'm going to leave that aside as part of the Gemara and Chulin. As is a discussion about whether a treifa can even give birth, which is part of the question there also.
Right.
So the Sotosfo says you could say that everybody agrees that Beitzim. Everybody agrees that Beitzim Gemuros may be eaten with dairy, if they're not Mu'uros anymore. That's Rabbi Yaakov's position on Daf Zayin. And as for Beis Hillel, why did Beis Hillel say we're calling this an Avela? Because they're worried about confusion. If people know that you can eat the egg that was found inside the Avela, they're going to assume you can eat the egg that was inside the treifa by the time of the attack. Like, in fact, we say in Edios, Umodim Bebeit Sastrefa, it was the end of what we saw in Source Aleph. Umodim Bebeit Sastrefa, Shi Asura. That Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai agree that the egg of a trefa is Asur, Mepneshi Gadla Beisur, because it grew inside this animal, inside this chicken, in a prohibited state. And if I take this view, then I don't need to revisit Rabbi Yaakov, because the answer that we gave before is going to work here as well. Rabbi Yaakov will now be free. Well, I think we still need to work with Rabbi Yaakov, but I think we'll work with him in the same way. I'm not 100% happy with that, but I'm going to leave that for now. That's Tosfos' take on this. Tosfos here. So what the upshot is that whether I take Tosfos' first answer or I take Tosfos' second answer, the egg is not part of the mother. I'm going to treat it as part of the mother as far as Nevela is concerned, either first approach because Nevela is De'oraisa, or second approach because of a concern about a treifa, about the egg of a treifa.
What if they're both connected in the sense that the Derebanan concept is you can't have Xera on Xera? So maybe he held all the time that Nevela is Xera, it's a Dereita, so you can still apply it to the egg.
Wait, Xera means a Derebanan.
Yeah.
The Nevela is. Beit Hillel is making a Xera because of Treifa.
Yes.
Okay, so it's Xera on a Nevela, okay, which Nevela is the Reita, and it's Xera on the egg, so that's a valid Xera. On the Kalev, on the chicken, he's saying it's not a valid Xera because chicken itself being Fleshik is a Xera, and now he can't do Xera on Xera. Like, maybe he just adapted after.
In other words, you would be assuming that the reason why you have a derabanan of poultry and milk is lest you have meat and milk, and then I'm not going to now say that egg from a chicken. The flaw in I hear what you're saying, but I think the flaw in it is the assumption that will be treated as two steps in the gzera. I think it will be treated as one step, and it will be called chada gzera, because it's not. We don't want you to have the egg with milk, lest you have poultry with milk. lest you then have meat with milk. It's, we don't want you to have the egg with milk, lest you have meat with milk. It's part of the gzera of poultry.
The only reason why I'm going that route is I have difficulty seeing it to us as two separate answers. I sort of see it as one answer. He has a difficulty with Rav Yaakov, and then he sort of revised.
Well, no, because they're fundamentally two different approaches. Saying that base Hillel is strict because he believes Nevela is a de'oraisa, and therefore we should be strict with it, is different from saying we're going to be strict regarding Nevela, regarding Nevela, because you might come to do Beitzas Treifa. I think those are two fundamentally different points.
But he's saying that in Nevela, then they ate in the first.
Either way, he's saying it's going to be treated as Nevela. Because that we know that's based on his position.
Right.
The only question is how we get there.
Okay, but in the first case, is he saying then that the egg is part of the mother because it's the raifa?
In the first case.
In the first case.
Yes.
The first answer.
Okay. Yeah. So Tosos in Chulin offers a third approach to resolve Beis Hillel. He does not like our second answer at all. If you take a look at Tosos in Source Hay, he says, V'im Tomar, you might ask, he's starting as though we didn't know this question. He says, you might ask, Beis Hillel here is telling me the egg of a nevela is treated like meat of the mother, in the sense that even if it's a complete egg, it's still aser like nevela. But in Beis Adavav, you're telling me that it's power, you can have it with milk. Vafilu Rabbi Yaakov lo palig, and even Rabbi Yaakov did not disagree. Here you go. Ela de ka'amar ma'i mu'uros begida masuros al b'sheinam mu'uros mutter. He takes the view that Rabbi Yaakov is not disagreeing, and he's only qualifying and saying mu'uros are a different category. So Tosfos says, I don't understand. V'tireks b'halachos gedolos. He quotes you the Bahag. The b'halachos gedolos in the 10th century is the first one to come up with a modern or modernish, not modernish, but modernish code of Jewish law, in the sense that the wave that starts with him is the wave of going through the Gemara and lifting out the parts that are halacha lemaisa and putting them into a separate manuscript with your halachic positions.
Also,
that becomes what the Rush does, it becomes what the Rif does. In the Bahag, we only have pieces of it. I don't think we have a complete text.
Frenchman, right? I think
was he French? Probably, that makes sense. The Baal Halachos Gedolos is a very important sefer just in the development of halacha. Then of course that entire wave gets wiped out by the Rambam, who comes up with a different way to codify everything. Instead of me needing to look in Beitza and read through Perek Aleph or Halachic Sugyos of Perek Aleph, let me turn it into a code. Here are Hilchos Yom Tov. You know, Perek this, Halacha that.
Without all that commentary that went with it.
Without the commentary that went with it, without the debate, but also without the Sugya. He took out the Sugya and said, here's your conclusion. The Rush leaves it in. The Bahag leaves it in.
The Rambam tells you in the Sagdoma that's what he wants to do. Right?
Correct. So the Bahag explains, he says, the first answer we saw in our Tosfos in Beitza, that Nevela is biblical and therefore they're strict. But poultry and milk is rabbinic and they're lenient. Rabbeinu Tam tirates, Debetas Nevela Achmiru Mishum de Nevela Havi Davar Ha'asur. Aval Besar Of Bechalav. He gives you another answer from Rabbeinu Tam. His approach, this third approach, is a very different idea. He says, when you're dealing with nevela, we treat it like a nevela, because nevela is more strict, in the sense that nevela is inherently prohibited. Whereas when you're dealing with poultry and milk, or meat and milk for that matter, the two items are fundamentally mutter foods. It's just that in combination they're no good. So he says that's more lenient than nevela, in which the item itself is usser. You follow?
Does that work?
Well, that's his argument.
It doesn't work with Kalayim, does it?
No, it doesn't. But Kalayim has its own rules. But that's his very clever idea, is to say that he says, I still believe the egg is not part of the mother. That he's still with us on that. But nevela is what we call a chetza shel iser. The nevela is a prohibited item in and of itself, and therefore it is of stricter status, and therefore Beis Hillel is going to say the egg is like the mother, like the nevela. Take a look at what he does now to tear apart the second approach that we brought before. Uperusho, within Rabbi Tam's view, Misyashev Mashemafarish Ba'aruch, that which the Aruch explained now makes sense. What do you mean? He says, that idea that Tosfos said in Erevin, that when you say, oh, this is such a simple question, egg and yogurt is easy, right? So the Aruch said, no, it's talking about where you found the egg inside the chicken and telling you that it's mutter with yogurt. He says, now I understand that. Right? Like the Aruch said, like we saw in source number 3 in Tosfos, he says everybody knows regular eggs are mutter in milk. But he says now with the Bahag's approach, now I can ask, my afilu de ka'amar afilu beis abekutcha. He says, why is this easy to answer? What do you mean when you say even this case? Is this any more obvious than anything else? Let me explain this. I think I'm going through it a little too quickly. He says, I have a different problem. I have a different problem with this Gemara in Erevin. My problem, he says, is with the Aruch. The Aruch, as quoted by Tosfos, said, I don't understand why you would need to ask anybody about eggs and yogurt. Eggs and yogurt are a no-brainer. Right? That was the Aruch's point. And he said it's an egg found inside of the Shechted Mother, right? He says, no. Why is this so obvious? If you're going to tell me it's an egg inside of a Shechted Mother, I don't think that's obvious in the least. Because after all, he says, there is a view that says, surprise, that poultry and milk is deoraisa. There is such a view. Well, the Urayim, among others, we're going to see in Source Vav. There is indeed such a view that poultry and milk is a deoraisa. So he says, according to them, if you're telling me, let's go back, you're telling me that the answer for why Beis Hillel says it's an Avela is because Nevela is De'oraisa, right? Well, if that's really the reason why Beis Hillel says that it's an Avela, then according to those who say poultry and milk is a De'oraisa, you're also going to have to call it Fleshik. In which case, why is the Gemara in Erevin holding up the case of an egg found inside a shechted chicken as the most obvious of halachos? Now it's actually a major debate. Oops. We took what started out as an easy question that you can have an egg of yogurt, right? First became more complicated with an egg inside of a shechted chicken, and now it's become really complicated because if you believe that what makes egg nevela is the fact that nevela is deoraisa, then there are going to be people who are going to tell you that an egg is also fleshik because poultry and milk, according to some, is a deoraisa.
Okay, but in the Gemara, is there an opinion?
No wonder Rukhisa wouldn't answer the question.
In the Gemara, is there an opinion that says it's
yeah. Oh, yeah.
So this isn't so.
This isn't made up, no. So.
Saying eggs are always fleshix, even if they don't come from a shell?
No. Just inside the shechted chicken, yeah.
Even if they have the shell?
Yes.
And where's the penny? That's
so would appear, yeah. So that's his problem. So he says, V'yesh Lomar, you could answer. Dilahachi ka'amar apilu. You could say that that's why it says even an egg. Shekol ha'olam hayu nogin bo heter. Because you're right. Technically, it's subject to a debate, but everybody and his brother says it's mutter. So, in other words, it's apilu because you know what it's like? You go into yeshiva and you ask someone who's been learning, I don't know, he's been doing. You know, brachos, biyun, okay? And he's really, like, learning the sugya and so on. And you ask him, what's the bracha on a blueberry bush that's less than 10 tefachim from the ground? So he'll give you an entire Torah on what it is, but he won't be able to answer the question. You have to also learn halacha l'maisa. Say, okay, this is what we do. What is the bracha at the end of the day? So what so he says, you could answer that the reason it says afilu, like this is such an obvious thing, is because at the end of the day, people do something with these eggs. There is an answer, and the answer is everybody says they're dairy. So yes, it's true that there is a view among the Rishonim that says that there is a view among the Rishonim that says that poultry and milk is a de'oraisa. And if you were to take the view that the reason Beis Hillel calls it an Avela is because it's a Deoraisa, and you were to combine it with the view that says the poultry and milk is a Deoraisa, you would end up with a recipe for saying that the egg found inside the chicken should be treated as fleshik. However, nobody says that. And that's what he means. That's his first answer. But then he gives a second answer.
That's a stunning Afilu, though.
Well, no, I mean, that's the way halacha works.
It's not related that way. I mean, if there actually is somebody who says it's...
Okay.
You would think that this is because people eat eggs all the time.
Yeah.
People ate a lot of eggs.
This would have been common.
It was common, so that...
Well, no, maybe not entirely common. Because you didn't tend...
Taking it out from inside the mother.
Right, you didn't tend to shecht your egg-laying chickens, right, like we saw in the beginning of the sechta. Va'od yesh lomar, alternatively you could say, dehayinu taima da'asri beis hillel beitzas nevela gezera atu beitzas trefa. He says, you could say that this is the reason why beis hillel prohibits the egg of the nevela, because you might come to eat the egg of the trefa. Right? The answer that we gave before. U'beitzas trefa asur mishum dugemara be'isur. And the egg of a trefa is in fact asur because it was completed be'isur like we talked about. But he says, I don't like that answer. Umiyu ein nira teretzeh. That answer doesn't work. Why? He says, if that were really true, that you're going to make a decree of don't have the egg from a nevela, lest you have the egg from a trefa, then you would also have to prohibit the eggs that the trefa produces later on, lest you eat the egg from when it became a trefa, or lest you eat the unfertilized egg of the trefa. He says, we didn't answer those. So you, now you're going to teach me this? So he says, no, that's not the answer. The answer is what I am saying, Tosus and Chulin says. He says, the answer is my third approach. The answer is that the egg is not part of the mother, and the reason why we're strict with nevela is because nevela, the item itself, is usur. As opposed to poultry and milk, where even if you say it's a de'oraisa, nonetheless, the poultry is mutter on its own, the milk is mutter on its own, and therefore we're going to be more lenient. That's his approach.
That's
Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, that's the third answer for this idea, and then the fourth and last answer. I charted everything in the bottom of your sheet, so you could have an easy reference. I have to make sure to get to the fourth, and my son is waiting for me to pick him up, so I can't delay. The fourth answer is from the Urayim. The Urayim, Rabbi Lazar Mimetz, offers as a Rishon another approach. He says in source Vav, he says, the truth of the matter is you could push off this whole proof from Edyos about Beis Hillel saying it's an Avela. It's not comparable to this. The fact that Beis Hillel said it's an Avela does not mean that it's meat. It doesn't mean it's part of the mother. These are two different issues. Even if it's not called meat, it's still usher as nevela. Why? Because the Torah says, lo sohal kol nevela. Don't eat all nevela. So he's saying kol as all, not as any. Kol hanechal benevela ne'esar. Anything that you could eat, theoretically, anything edible of a nevela is usur. So that's a radical approach. Still saying it's not part of the mother. Everybody's agreeing it's not part of the mother. But he takes it from the word kol. The Kovet Shiurim, Rav Elchanan Wasserman, in source Zion, explains this a little bit. He says, Tiras b'sefer Yerayim, the Yerayim answered, Mrs. Basar b'chalav, debatesim havi b'chlal nevela. He says that eggs are indeed nevela. Aval eino basar, but it's not flesh. As far as meat and milk are concerned, it has to be meat in order to be asr. It doesn't need to be basar as far as nevela. Anything which is edible is automatically prohibited as nevela. So he says, based on this, you could ask a question. He says, in the Gemara in Pesachim, which we're not going to go into in depth, they talk about the blood of an avela becoming the status of the blood of an avela, and the question of whether a statement made regarding nevela automatically applies to the blood of the nevela. And Tosfos there said, from the fact that we didn't apply the rule stated there for nevela, we did not apply to its blood, that proves that the blood is not called basar. That's Tosa's statement. Tosa says, in fact, that we have a halacha there stated regarding the vela, but not regarding its blood, that proves that the blood is not called basar. V'nira daitam de la inyan is suna vela, but inan gam kein basar. So Tosfos' view, the Kovetz Shurim says, is different. Tosfos' view fundamentally is that as far as the Isser Nevela, it's only called Nevela if it is meat, and otherwise not. That's Tosfos and Pesachim that he's quoting, but I didn't bother to bring in at length here. Which is why Tosfos didn't give that answer here. Tosfos had to strain to give all the other answers that we've seen. So you have four different explanations for what's going on with Beis Hillel. The first approach is that Beis Hillel is strict with Nevela because it's a Deoraisa. And the second approach is that Beis Hillel is strict with Nevela because you might come to have the egg of the Trefa. Right, we saw that Tosfos and Chulin rejected that approach because he said then you should also prohibit the other eggs produced by a trefa, which we don't. The third approach is Tosfos and Chulin, who says that it's because nevela is fundamentally usur, as opposed to just being part of a mixture that creates an isur, which helps to that we like that answer from Tosfos and Chulin because that helped to explain the bayis of a kutcha. Issue as well. The fourth answer is that the answer is it can be nevela without being called part of the mother. So that was what we were trying to get through last time that I couldn't get straight. And now I think we have it. Shkoyach.